What are we coaching on, Mama?
Well, I'm a January newbie.
All right.
I'm super excited to be on this call. I'm feeling all nervous talking to the queen. I've been following your podcast for probably well over a year.
Oh, wow.
And recently I listened to one of your podcasts on making decisions. And that's an area that I've always struggled with.
Why?
Well, I think it's your podcast really resonated with me, the whole thought of what if I make the wrong decision? And, you know, I go into, you know, analyzing and I guess, you know, the whole saying about, what is it, paralysis by analysis. I you know, want to make sure that I do the right decisions. And
well, there's the biggest problem. You think there's a right one. There's no right or wrong decisions. You guys are going to have to really get your brain wrapped around this. There are just decisions. The rightness of it or the wrongness comes into your application afterward.
Yeah, and I think I really enjoyed that piece of your podcast of how, you know, you just make a decision and then you make sure that you make the best of it. Currently, I'm faced with what I consider to be a pretty big life decision. I'll be making a career change, and we need to consider whether or not we will move as a family. So for the past year, I've been on assignment working at an area that's a very long commute from my house. So I drive about an hour and 45 minutes one way. I'm not driving there every day. I do have some flexibility to work from home. This was kind of a trial period, a one-year assignment. I really enjoy the job. It's been offered to me permanently now. So now we have to make the decision. Do we keep doing what we're doing, which is challenging for me in the sense that it does require a lot of my time and stamina to be commuting that much, mm-hmm. or do we relocate?
Yeah.
The we includes my 8-year-old son, who is my world. And I think that's where I have a really hard time with the what if I make the wrong decision, because I keep focusing on, you know, if it's me and just me, not a problem. I can make the best of whatever situation. But I feel paralyzed in.
Let's say you move. Okay. And why would that ever be wrong? Like, well, how is that? But if it's your child, if it was like, if it was up to me, it'd just be this would be a done deal. But oh my God, if I made this one decision, like how, what is the implications to him? What are you so afraid of?
So the implications to him is the big thing is changing schools.
Okay.
So there's different areas we could move in, but we are, our first language is French. So my son goes to a Francophone school. So there would be those implications. He would likely not be able to go to a French school anymore. You know, changing his friends. My son, we are having challenges in school right now. He is, I'll say he has been diagnosed as being intellectually gifted as well as ADHD, hyperactive, impulsive. So he is, you know, he's a handful, and I am concerned that not all school systems are necessarily the best for him. So I keep going back and forth to that. Sometimes I think, well, perhaps changing schools would be a nice fresh start for him, but I also don't want it.
Are you going to be able to, no matter what school he goes to, show up for him 100% or not?
Yes.
Okay. Then all this other extra worry is bullshit. What do you think it means? Like, this is where I want you to like really think about this. You're creating a lot of drama around all these, like, all right, I'm sitting here focusing on all the worst case scenarios that could happen. It's no wonder you don't want to make a decision. So far, you've not told me one positive that could come out of, like, you're like, well, here's all the reasons why it's so bad, Corinne. Here's all the reasons why it's so bad, Corinne. This is why you can't make a decision. You're not even giving yourself, like, you're not doing what we like to call just weighing the options. you're weighing the worst case scenario and you're basing like, are you going to be able to show up for that or not? So are you?
Well, yeah, I think I do in my mind think about a lot of the positives. I just fear that I'm disillusioning myself and thinking that the grass is going to be greener on the other side. So I do think that a move could potentially be positive for us, but then my brain goes back to, well, maybe I'm just thinking it's better over there and maybe it won't be better over there.
Right. There's no harm in thinking it's better over there. Let me offer you this. You're thinking that it could be worse over there. It could be that there are challenges over there, just like there's challenges to stay in here. But it's safer to stay with exactly what you know and not risk anything. That is what your brain is worried about, the risk. There's no way to know if that move is 100%, yep, perfect, until you just decide it's going to be 100% perfect. So if he goes over there and he can't go to the school you want him to, you either like, see, wrong decision, or you're just like, we make the best of it. We figured out the last situation. We figured this one out. You go over there and what's one of the other fears you had? The main one I got out of it was the French speaking. But what was the other one that you had?
The whatever school he ends up in, their ability to challenge him and enrich him like he needs to be, just given his.
Okay, so if you move and you pick a school, a district where they're not doing that, you either make it mean that you made the wrong choice and should have stayed home, or you make it mean time to step up and figure out how to get these people to do their job. Because it has nothing to do with like that. You keep thinking that all these things that could happen mean you made a wrong choice, which means if you made a wrong choice, there's something wrong with Julie. If you make your choice and you just decide this was the absolute best choice for our family, no matter what your choice is, then when these other things come up, you don't make them mean anything about Julie. You go into like, there's a process problem here we need to solve. There's a process problem here we need to solve. Just like if you decide, let's say you decide to stay, all right, and you keep doing this long-ass commute, and he's not getting the attention he needs because you're always driving. You're not working with the school. You can either make that mean there's a Julie problem. She should have took that job when she had the opportunity. And you're like, no, I just, like, this is the school. They're going to have to step up because this is our situation. I just want you to see there's no right or wrong choice. Before you can make your decision, you have to totally own that whatever decision you make, that all these worst case scenarios that you have playing out in your brain don't mean there's something wrong with Julie and the way she makes decisions. It just means every choice always has its own set of obstacles that will come up. There's not going to be one where it's like, oh my God, this was the one. Like, I never had another problem the rest of my life. This was so great of me to like make that decision. If you want your decisions to be wrong, no matter which one you make, if you really believe there's a wrong decision out there, then no matter which one you make, something will blow up and you'll blame yourself for the decision you made rather than just solving the problem that presents itself. If you truly believe that every decision you make is the right decision, then every problem that arises will have nothing to do with your decision. It will just be another problem to solve.
After listening to your podcast on that specific topic, I also listened to one from which I found was really good, that was really helpful for me, from Brooke Castillo. Mm-hmm. She has a really good one that really links up to what you were saying. But I loved in particular, she mentioned one thing that resonated with me around how, we should give ourselves a time limit on making the decisions. And specifically, she said, like, make no mistake when you're, you know, it's okay to do some research and some analysis. But like some people will say, I took a month to make that decision. So make no mistake, you didn't take a month. The decision is made in an instant.
Yes.
And whatever else happened around that. So that to me, and And I've gone back and listened to that podcast and yours quite a few times. I find that's kind of helping me and calming me down. But again,
like, taught me how to make decisions just like that. I probably move even faster than she does, to be honest. I don't like indecision. I think indecision feels like shit. Because I totally believe in my ability to, no matter what decision I make, I can handle anything that comes, good or bad. And it never means anything about me. So it makes it really easy for me to just make decisions like on the fly, because I just, like, you're almost crying. This is, should be motivation to make a decision, because it's like your fear about what might happen. You're missing out on all that you're missing now because you're not deciding. But I love deadlines. I'll give you an example. We're moving. We met with the lady yesterday, so we have to get like new furniture for the house. She had an hour and a half to take us through a furniture store, and I decided everything was going in the house in an hour and a half. Sight unseen. Never even been in that store. And Chris was like, wow, we're such good decision makers. She said we were the easiest clients ever. She said, you didn't have one piece you wanted to go home and think about. I was like, why would I? She's like, I don't know. It's your home and it's all this other. And I said, yeah. And it's also furniture. Every piece will either work or I might not like it. And I'll just tell myself, I have furniture. I'm the lucky one. People don't have furniture in this world. I mean, like, when you neutralize everything, yeah, like, you're making it seem like your child's whole future is deciding upon this one decision.
Yeah. And I think, I feel I've made some great progress over the years in my just general decision-making abilities. And I've had to, through work, through, you know, whether it's buying furniture or buying a car, I think I've gotten there. I just think that when it implicates my son, I mean, there's a lot of feelings there of around, you know, am I being a good mother? Am I doing everything that he needs?
Well, that's what I want you to do your work on. Don't do your work on decision-making. Do your work on, like, am I being a good mother? Yes, because you're taking his needs into consideration. Clear that shit up real quick. You're thinking your decision is what makes you a good mother. What makes you a good mother is you thinking about him while you're making your decision. That means you'll also think about him no matter what happens in the future. What did you say? He's 8 years old?
Yes.
Was he in third grade?
Yes.
Yeah. You know what this decision means? Fourth grade, not the rest of his life. Like, allow yourself to be like, this is a fourth grade decision. He'll either have a great year or have one of those years that we get to figure out what he really needs. Whether, yeah, you stay here or you go over there, fourth grade is going to present its own problems.
Yeah, for sure.
But do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think your decision and how that decision works out defines you as a mother. It's like, it doesn't. You define yourself as a mother. You're the kind of mother that thinks about their child. You're the kind of mother that goes to the mat for their child. You're the kind of mother that, you know, weighs out the options and doesn't make her decisions mean the value of her as a mother. The value of being a mother is how you show up for your child, not the decisions. It's, here's the, like, this would, this is how we would know if you're a terrible mom. If you were deciding and you're like, fuck that kid. Like, I'm just all out over here. Like, he could just go, like, sit in a corner somewhere, living my life. It's not what you're doing.
No, no, but certainly there's always a lot of mommy guilt around focusing on my career. And
no, there's not. That's, I want you to, here's what I want you to think. You're saying it as if we all have mommy guilt. Like, that's our circumstance. All of us have mommy guilt around careers. I don't. I think I can be an awesome mom and an awesome business person at the same time. I don't need to have guilt in order to do either one of them effectively. Now, if I choose guilt, I'm probably showing up for both very ineffectively. Like, I want you to really, like, watch your video, and I want you to see how much of your story that you think is just like, just part of being a mom. We're all supposed to worry. We're all supposed to feel guilty. We're all supposed to anguish. We're all like, guys, that is not the definition of motherhood. It's not mine. And when I try to go there, I try to remind myself that's not showing up like a mom. That's being selfish on my part. When I think of my kid, I want to think about love, not guilt.
Makes sense.
I know it always makes sense. Here's the thing. Watch this video like 500 times because it's going to like, we don't just drop guilt overnight. Here's what you're going to do. You are going to get off this call, be like, makes so much sense. I'm going to make out my pros and cons list. I'm going to make a decision. And then about 3 hours later, she just doesn't really get that he's a little of a snowflake. I'm a snowflake too. It'll all go right out the window because the guilt is ingrained right now. So then you have to listen to the call one more time. You have to remind yourself, it's normal for me to feel guilty because I've always thought this way. You're in the space of, it's normal for me to feel guilty because I'm a mother. Very different. It's like being a mom does not equal guilt, but feeling guilt can equal thought patterns that have been repeated and taught to us all our life. So that means if it's a thought pattern and it's been taught to us, we have to teach ourselves a new thought pattern. So you just start, just telling yourself, like, there's possibility to be an amazing career woman and an amazing mom all at the same time. And they don't even have to be stressful. They don't even have to be full of guilt. Because what makes them stressful is when you're at one place feeling guilty for not being at the other place. Rather than just being all in, if you're going to be at work and be a superstar, you might as well enjoy it. And then when you're at home, and if you want to be an amazing mom, you might as well be at home, be an amazing mom. And then when you're not at those two places physically, you also mentally check out of them. Because no one is being served. Like, your son does not get to feel like y'all are closer or more bonded because while you're at work, you feel guilty. He does not capitalize on that. Your job does not capitalize on you thinking you should be doing more there when you're with your son. The only thing that happens is each one of them gets like deductions made in your focus and your energy and your flow and in all those things. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. I think I love the idea of you giving yourself a deadline. Just ask yourself, how long do I want to be in misery over this decision? And then I'll make a decision. That always makes me tighten my deadline up really fast. I'm like, I don't want to be in misery very long. And then you just go into pros and cons. Like, when you just decide you can make the decision just fine, just go into the pros and cons and just know you'll have your back no matter what. It's like, I will not regret anything. I will not beat myself up over anything. If I try to, I will just stop that shit. If I could figure out how to do an hour and 45 minute commute a lot of the time while having a child speaking French and ADHD and gifted, like all this stuff you've already done, give yourself some fucking credit. When you move, or if you don't, you'll figure that out too. You're really good at figuring things out. You just need to give yourself credit for doing so, so that you can start making decisions. All right.
Okay.
All right, January baby. You're almost not a baby anymore.
When the day comes
along, you have to retire that baby moniker.
I hope I can keep it a while still, because I'm still struggling to figure out the basics.
All right. The basics take a while. Everybody always thinks that because they're called basics that they must be like easy. No, they're simple to understand and they take time to get good at them.
Exactly. Logically, I understand them quite well, but somehow practically.
It's just like, think about a toddler. How long does a baby have to walk before they get good at walking? Like a long freaking time. I mean, like, hell, Logan still trips over his feet and he's 7 or 16. I mean, it's like, you know, it takes a long time to do the easiest. Walking is not really that hard. Your legs move forward. But it takes a long time to master the skill. So you're doing fine. You get after it, Mama.
Thank you for your time. I think you're doing great work, and all of your podcasts are really useful on my long commute.
There you go. All right. Thank you, lady.
Thanks. Bye.
All right. Oh, my gosh, y'all. I don't know why I drink coffee with MCT oil on these calls and the heat is running at the same time. I'm sweating like a moose now. Cynthia, you're next. I think every call is me bitching about sweating. I swear to God, my next house, I'm putting a fan in there. All right, you'll have to unmute yourself.
Woo, we have
all right,
it.
What are we coaching on, lady? I love your fingernail polish, by the way.
Thank you. Get it changed every couple weeks. It's how I self-care. I feel like going, long-time listener, first-time caller. Hi.
Hello.
Actually, I met you in Vegas. When you talked to the From Fat to Finish Line people.
I now remember. Yes. Okay.
You said, when you asked what I was doing about running, I was like, oh, I hate it. And you point blank me said, if you hate it, why do you keep doing it?
Right.
Well, bow down to the queen for that one. So
I'm going to open my window. I'm still listening.
Oh, that's okay. I'm kind of building off of what Julie talked about. I'm kind of stuck in almost a complacency. January baby, been following you on podcasts since August, did the free week. I'm looking down at my notes.
You're good.
I lost about 5 or 6 pounds in the free week. And then, I froze in January. I went, oh crap, what's going on? But I kicked myself in gear finally, 8 pounds so far since the end of January. Yay.
Okay.
I'm feeling I need to, like, it's all of a sudden become, I don't want to say easy, but it feels very routine now. And I feel like I should level up somewhere. And I just don't know where I would pick that up.
All right. So where do you think? If you had to pick a spot, like if I was going to look at your, like, let's say you were going to turn into me what you've been doing right. The last like 2 weeks, what would you think I would
pick? Oh, you'd yell at me for my 24-hour plan. Absolutely.
No, I love how you're like, I'm just confused on where I should, you know, start and blah, blah, blah.
Well, and because I went back and I looked at my last month and, I'm averaging 7 hours a day of sleep. Some days are really low. I commute about 1 hour and 15 minutes for work. As of Friday, I'm done. I haven't quit yet, but no problem with me going, I'm tired of this. It's time for me to find a new job, get out of education, that kind of thing. But here I'm looking back going, well, gee, I don't know where, but 22 out of 30 days in my plan is not good data for me to build on. And then I'm like, well, gee, why have I only lost 8 pounds? I don't know. I only did 24-hour plans. I mean, my water's great. I'm exercising. I'm running like
a boss. Let's look back to being confused. Why are you confused about what you need to do next?
Maybe it's not confusion then. Maybe
it is when you ask, I don't know what to do next. So we're pretending like we're lost and confused. And
right.
Like we don't know, we can't trust ourselves to just look at our data and be like, oh, here's the next logical step. Why is that hard?
Because all the other times I've lost weight, I have white knuckled. I did it for a specific reason and then it stopped. And I didn't have a compelling reason all that time. And I have mine now. I need to be healthy. My kids are grown. They've all successfully launched. Thank God. My son was, you know, I'm going to have grandchildren. I want to live to be, you know, as old as I can.
I think you're bringing up something that I think is super important. And I'm really glad this is coming up. And I see this happen all the time. So what I teach, I notice people, it freaks them out. So I either don't start at all, because I'm so freaked out, it's so easy that it's going to bring up my bullshit. Like people like today, I was talking about this. You're in another boat. You're running up against it feels pretty doable. I'm getting results. Like, I'm actually enjoying the process. And that feels unnerving. And let me tell you why I think it feels unnerving. Y'all don't want to lose that part because you've never got to experience that part. All you've ever gotten to experience is misery, success, failure.
Right.
Now what you're experiencing is delight or ease, or this is not as bad as I thought it was. It's too easy. You're like, there's all of that plus success. And you automatically think some failure is lurking now.
Right. I guess that's it. It's that little voice back here. It's too easy. What's going on? This can't end well. When you white knuckled, it didn't end well. So this is that. Yeah, it's maybe that's it. It's almost that little, that stupid voice in the back of my head going, what's the catch?
And yeah. But let me ask you this, like when you want to level up, let's just put, we're going to level up. What is your first thought? Because right now you're going to be confused by it.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to dig into. I need to figure out why you're afraid to level up.
I know. Well,
underneath confusion is always fear, guys. 100% of the time. Like, rarely do I have anybody that comes to me, you know, pretending, like, just tell me what to do. Because you're kind of like, let me tell you, and then you just tell me what to do. What I don't want to do is always tell you guys what to do. I want you to understand why you're not telling yourself what to do. Because you, obviously, if you need me to tell you, it's because you don't feel empowered to just try something and be wrong.
And that's so funny because, like, Julie, like you were telling her, you know, in work, I've always been make that decision. Like you, there's no blink. There's no, I'm going to do this. But here, where it should be the easiest, okay, fix yourself. You know, 22 out of 30 is statistically not a good thing. Why'd you even schedule this call now that you have this data? Why? And I went through the, let me just cancel that. I mean, I'm in that car. My mom's best friend came over. I live with my mother. And I was like, nope, I'm taking this conversation. I'm sitting outside at the park. Because I looked at my dad and I'm kind of like, well, yeah, that's really, you know, that's not good numbers. That's not good numbers at all. And then that means that's why there's only 8 pounds. And I don't know. It's a reassurance. It, as silly as it sounds, I guess it is. I don't believe I can do it, maybe. And I got to figure out why I don't believe in myself on this of everything else in my life. I became a teacher of the visually impaired. I didn't go to school for it, but I succeeded because
I'll tell you why you don't believe in yourself. I know exactly why you don't believe in yourself. It's why nobody ever believes in themselves.
Okay.
You're waiting for yourself to be successful first. Oh, now I get to believe in myself. Look what I just did. It's like, that's not how success happens. Success starts with believing you'll do the work. And part of doing the work means you believe in yourself enough to get in there and it'd be a fucking hot mess. Like, this is the thing. You believed in yourself enough last month to get your shit started.
Right.
And now you need to believe in yourself for the next month enough to be like, okay, so the next logical step is these 22 plans. Was it 22 did or didn't plan?
No, 22 I did.
Okay, so the other 9 days, wait a minute, what are we in? February?
Well, I didn't.
6 days, however many, let's pretend it was 7 days. That other week needs to like fucking start happening this month.
Okay.
And I believe that I'm going to plan every single day, and I believe I'm going to show up for it no matter what. And I also believe that if at the end of the month, I don't lose the weight I want, it has nothing to do with me not showing up. Because I just believe I'll keep going. One of the things that I want you guys to really appreciate here, y'all get very hung up on your numbers and things. And I think that's, you know, I'm all about the data and whatnot. But sometimes I want you guys to look at your numbers and be like, this is the part of the process I'm supposed to be enjoying. Because I'm not doing this just to be smaller. Like, I'm doing this to change my life. I'm doing this. I don't have to worry about my weight all the time. I don't have to do those things. Like, I want you guys to get to where you just love sitting there and like, how can I level up? What are the areas that I need to improve? Oh my gosh, I've got like 7 more days of planning I can do this next month. Like, I want you guys to like flip it on its head. It's not always about the, like, you guys think the result is always about your weight. And when you only tie all your feelings of success and believability and everything into what you're going to weigh, you miss out on all the fun of losing weight. The fun part is seeing this data and knowing you have something to work on. The fun part is knowing that you get to challenge yourself this month to do 31 of them and not just 22 of them. Like, the fun part is being able to pull apart little things you want to do that makes you a grandma that can play. Like, y'all have to start thinking about all of this like on such a bigger scale rather than just thinking about only the scale.
Right.
And when you do stuff like that, like when you really start looking at all of it, you believe in yourself. You're always going to believe in yourself more if the process of believing in you is fun. If the process of believing in you creates excitement or joy or challenge, or you start proving yourself wrong and you start like being like, oh my God, I'm made up of so much more than I thought. Like, I really was defining everything in my health. Like, I was defining being a runner. I was defining how I ate. I was defining my weight and everything based upon past failure. That sucks. Like, I'm not even enjoying the process right now because I'm so worried about what I used to do. It's like, quit worrying about what you fucking used to do. Start getting focused and excited about what you're doing now. Nobody gives a fuck about what Cynthia did 10 years ago when she tried to lose weight. Cynthia should for sure not give a fuck.
Right. True. I mean, yeah, I mean, the first time, like every time I look at it, I go back to why the hell do I even worry about that failure? I don't let failure in any other part of my life define me. I get pulled from a race. Well, okay. That means I just need to train harder the next time. That's it. I'm never going to quit. You know, I'm never going to make it. I'm just going to quit. Fuck racing. No. I still keep doing it. So I just have to apply that to this part of my overall health.
You have to watch yourself want to complicate your weight loss.
Okay.
It's not complicated. Like, if you look at it from a lens of, guys, and here's the thing, every single one of you, throughout your entire weight loss and your maintenance, you are always going to be having room for improvement. If you don't start seeing that now, and you think that every time something's wrong, it means that you're going to fail, then you're always going to be afraid of failing.
Right.
Because you're always going to get that reminder. I get reminded several times a week of how to practice my 24-hour planning. Like, I haven't even done it today. I literally, like, this morning I hit the ground running, and I remember clear as a bell when I thought it, you can do that later. And I was like, that's some bullshit excuse you got working, Queenie. This is great. You know what I told myself? Then you get to eat after your 24-hour plan is done. Still swigging coffee at 12:37. Not as a punishment, but it's like, your plan has to be important. Right. I'm willing to be late. All right, we're going to pay the price of hunger today.
There you go.
Because we're going to plan, and we're going to like planning, and planning is a part of who we are. Like, when you start like embodying all of this stuff and you start just loving the person you're becoming, y'all have to quit. Like, I swear to God, everybody just agree with me today that you will no longer hate who you are and hope that that is what changes you. Start loving you enough to start loving the process and loving your future self. Like, get so focused. Like, if I could just shut all of you down on your past like that, oh my God, I'd have the secret to weight loss.
You would.
It's shut down the bullshit past and am I hungry? The two secrets of weight loss.
Okay.
All right. So you have this. So you know exactly where you picked the thing. I don't need to know anything else you're doing.
Okay.
This month is all about your 24-hour plan. I want one done every day. And you be like me. You can steal a page out of my book. Oh, you don't have to do it this morning. You just don't get to eat until you do one. Enjoy your day.
Makes for a very long foodless day in my case right now. So yeah.
Like I'm just sitting here going, poor decisions. I'm like hungry. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm learning my lesson now. Tomorrow, I bet my ass is like, oh, you got 2 minutes.
Yeah.
You know how hungry you were yesterday? You got your dose. Let's do this.
Right. 2 minutes. That's all it takes. And I've got past that. It doesn't have to be pretty. That was my first like, oh, it has to be beautiful. No, it has to be written down. And I'm there. I scratch out. I'm okay. That stupid perfectionist, it has to look all pretty and Pinterest-y. No. Now I just have to find the 2 minutes every day to get it done.
Yeah. If we're going to spend a lot of time making something beautiful and stuff, let's do that with our wardrobe when we've lost all of our weight. I don't give a fuck how pretty your Pinterest board is, but I would love to walk into your closet and be like, oh my God, you have the best taste. I love the clothes you've picked out since you've lost your weight. I would like bird by like, no. Let me just show you my Pinterest board. It's so much better. All right.
All right.
You know what to do. You've got this.
Yes, ma'am. Thanks. Right.
Bye. Jamie, you're next. I just crack myself up sometimes. Is Jamie here? Guys, if you ever, oh, there you are. I was going to say, if you ever sign on with a different name, please make sure that you put in the Q&A, I'm underneath a different name. Every now and then y'all sign up under other stuff. All right, so bottom left somewhere is how you're going to turn on your sound. Zoom just recently changed these settings, so I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, good. We're rocking and rolling now, mama.
You're good.
So what are we doing today?
Well, I'm a newbie from January as well. I've been working myself through the basics, and I got to the planned overeat section, and I am still having trouble, of course, overeating. And so I decided to do that this morning. Like I did my first planned overeat this morning.
How'd that go?
Well, that's what I thought. I thought I would just talk to you about it.
Let's do that. And do you have a bird in your house?
My door's open.
Oh, okay. I was like, my window's open. I couldn't decide if you had pet birds or if it was nature.
We're good. Yes. And I'm in Louisiana. So they're all, you know, out in the, like, hey. Oh,
so awesome. Yeah. It's like spring-like here today. So I've got the window open. And if y'all could see, well, here, I'll show you real quick. He's happy. He's like, I'm just sitting here hunting birds. All right. Tell me how your planned overeat went.
Well, first of all, when I woke up this morning, I was stinking excited. Like I was in bed, like I get to overeat today. Like it was a feeling of excitement.
Okay, good.
And I didn't know if that was good or not. Because I'm going to tell you, I skipped church. I didn't go to church this morning. I just went, okay.
Well, now the good Lord might not be loving you right now, but I'm fine with it. So the good Lord is like, you plan your overeat after church. How about that? What'd you have?
Well, I got pastries from Panera and I also, sausage biscuit with egg from McDonald's.
Okay. All right. So you did what you realistically would want, which is what I wanted to see. Sometimes people plan and overeat and it's some bullshit. And I'm like, is that the stuff that's really getting you in trouble? No. So let's just, you know, let's eat what we're going to be eating. Right. All right. So we planned it. We woke up. We were totally excited. Do you do exceptions also?
Yes.
Okay, good. I just want to make sure you're doing your exceptions, that you weren't like, sometimes what I've seen, so that I'm just catching everybody up to speed. When we do these planned overeats, guys, they're actually planned overeats. They are not your exception meal. But sometimes people are like, well, you know, I planned this and like, did you have an exception? No, because I knew I was going to do this. And it's like, okay, that's not the point of the whole exercise. Like you want to make sure you're having your exceptions. We want to plan realistically. Like if you are going to want every Sunday morning to have how many pastries did you have?
One pastry.
So if you want one pastry from Panera and you want a sausage, egg, and cheese biscuit from McDonald's and you wash it down with, you know, a donut, whatever it is, Coke. Right? Huh?
Yeah.
A Coke. So we're washing it down with a Coke. If that's what's realistic for you, like that's what you crave and that's what you want and all this other stuff, we actually want to plan that so that we're eating it in lifetime. Okay. So you had all of it. You were excited. Tell me about the experience.
When I went to get it, how about I just start there? When I went to get it, you know, of course, this is my regular routine. If I go get something is I'm checking out the parking lot to see if there's anyone I know. I don't want to go in. There's someone I know.
Okay. So secret eating.
Yes. Yes. Okay. And then, I decided I'm going in anyway, even if there's someone I know in there, I'm going in anyway. I have permission to do it today. That's how I felt. I have permission to do it.
Can I just make a comment for everyone? Whenever you eat, whether or not you plan it or not, you always have permission. You always give yourself permission. That's a lie we tell ourselves. Just so you know, even if you hadn't planned it, you'd given yourself permission to eat it if you're doing it.
I see. Yeah.
Yeah. You always have permission to eat whatever you want, whether or not it gets you towards your goal or whatever happens. It has nothing to do with permission. It just makes it very clear. Because what I see, I don't know if you're a binge eater, but this is what I see with binge eaters. And secret eaters often are binge eaters, but they're not always the same. But what happens is you guys think the food is controlling you. And that's why you're eating. It's like, no, you always, whether or not you binge, whether or not you eat it like off plan, it's an overeat, however compelling it feels. There was always the component in the moment you made the decision and you gave yourself permission. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to pick up on that. So, all right. So we've made our decision. We're going in. It's on plan. We're doing this. We're sitting at Panera. It's go time.
Okay. I brought it all home. And I remember the directions were to make sure that I had no distractions, that I was focus, not distract it. And immediately noticed that without TV, without computer or other people, I was like, well, this isn't going to be fun. You know, immediately clued into those distractions. Without them, I'm like, oh, well, okay, well, I just get to eat, you know?
Now I'm left with the experience. And that's the point of the planned overeat, is that you are left with the actual, this is actually what's happening. It tastes this way. It is this food. Like, it puts it into a very circumstantial moment. Mm-hmm. And then when you don't have distraction, you get to hear what you think. So what all did you think?
I thought, I like eating at the table.
Mm-hmm. Good.
That was good. I recognized that instead of focusing in the moment on that food, I was already thinking about, oh, well, there's another hash brown in that bag, and I'm going to eat that one too. You know, mm-hmm. And I was like, what the heck? I'm currently eating food, and I'm thinking about food that's, like, in my future. I wasn't in the moment focusing on my food.
Your brain was really trying to escape you eating that food. Mm-hmm. Why do you think your brain wanted to get away from that food so bad?
Maybe shame. Maybe it was a shame.
You think?
I think.
What other things did you think while you were having it, other than just thinking about the hash brown?
I thought it didn't taste as good. Like, it didn't even taste that good, you know?
It rarely does. Because you know what we're normally tasting? The relief and the escape. The giddy. The break. we're tasting our feelings. We think it's the food. Guys, you're never overeating for the food. You're always overeating for the experience. So if you can always, like, this is why I love that you did this. This is such a good call, I swear to God. I wish I could get more people to do this. The more you can figure out what really you want in those moments and start creating that with your brain and not with what you put in your mouth, you will see your overeating desires and urges and all that go away. So what else did you think about?
I thought about how I really wasn't even that hungry. And that I could have, I think I could have waited longer probably, you know. Or I could have stopped, but I didn't. So recognize that.
So you discovered a shit ton about yourself.
I guess so. And I'm talking it out. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you have the capacity to understand when you're hungry or not, that the food is not so compelling that those thoughts aren't there. Like, I want all, God, this is such a good, I swear to God, we're going to have to edit this one and make this a best of. I'm not joking. Like, I always know when there's a magic call that's going to help a lot of people. This is one. You really, you, because you took the time to plan this overeat and eat it with complete awareness, you gave yourself the gift of understanding the food. Like, there's no mystery. Like, oh, I realized I wasn't actually all that hungry. I probably could have just waited. Even for my Panera and my McDonald's that I love, that I've told myself over and over again, this is the food I love. This is the food I love. This is the food that does it for me. I could have even waited, and it was right in my face.
That's right.
Like, smelling it up right for me. Like, you learn so much that, like, if you can start structuring, the hard part for you is going to continue to plan like this and eat like this.
Yeah, because, you know, in my head, I'm like, oh, well, I'm getting on a coaching call today. I'm going to talk this out, and I'm done. Just one, and I am healed and moving forward.
Oh.
But even, you know, again, I'm like repeating back to you what you taught us, that in that segment, that it might take a week or two. And you have to be willing to have the extra pounds. You have to be willing to go through whatever it is I have to go through.
So let me ask you this. You went ahead and ate all of it, right?
Everything except the Coke. I realized I didn't want to finish the Coke, and I threw half of that out.
Okay, so that's what I want to show you. Like, so what, did you eat this shit last week? Or did you overeat last week? Like, so you planned this one. So what happened last week?
Yeah.
Like, let's just go through it. What is the difference between this week and last week's experience? What did you eat last Sunday? Do you remember?
Oh, no, I don't remember.
What's the last?
Yeah, canes. I remember. Yeah, chicken strips and fries. I remember.
Okay, chicken strips and fries. Did you have a Coke too?
Yeah, dark pepper.
Did you finish all of that?
All of it, yeah.
And did you continue to overeat the rest of the day or add anything else? Or did you be like, oh, I'm good, I'm solid?
I probably had cookies that night. I overate on cookies.
I want you to see how you're saying it could take a few weeks and I won't lose weight and everything. You've already thrown out a half a Coke. It's probably a good 200-300 calories. Coke ain't light on the calories. I think we can all agree on that one, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you think you're more likely now? You may still overeat today. Well, I'm not like trying to predict your future, but if you had to guess, after this experience, are you more or less likely to overeat today and give yourself permission?
Oh, I'm less likely. If because I will put my butt down at that table and do it at the table, off the couch. Yeah, just from what you're right. From what I learned this morning, I think I'm less likely.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to teach you guys. It's like, you guys think, like, y'all get so hung up that if you do it my way, like, oh, I'm going to gain weight, lose weight. And then y'all forget that you're already eating that way and thinking that you're somehow going to magically shit this new version of you that's not going to be tempted anymore. Like, today's the day I've made up my mind. Like, that's never coming. Y'all quit hedging your bets. Like, one out of every 1,000 of you will be able to do that. If we're lucky, one out of every 1,000. Hedge your bet that next Sunday, you're going to fucking want to eat the same shit you ate last Sunday, and your brain's going to be like, it's Sunday morning. You sure you want to go to church? We can always just swing into church's chicken. I mean, like, whatever it is. So hedge your bet on what you're going to want. Plan it, but stop doing it the way you've always done it. Because the way you've been doing it, this is so great. The way you've been doing it is behind your back. I'm pretty sure that at no point in there did you sit there and go like, you know, I really could just sit with my chicken strips for a little while. I don't know that I'm all that hungry. I'm sure when it came, it was like, eat that shit fast, because that was not on the plan.
Heck yeah. And I remember looking at my husband now and looking at his plate and thinking, well, shoot, all I have left is a little piece of toast. He has like 3 chicken strips and a handful of fries, and I started after him, you know? So I was even all over there. I was all everywhere.
Right. And that's what happens when you don't eat it, when you just keep doing it behind your own back, is that you clean up no margins. You learn nothing about yourself. You just keep repeating the same abusive pattern of, I want it. I feel great. Oh my God. Let me eat all I can, beat myself up. Today's the day. The diet starts. I'm not planning any of that bullshit anymore because it just makes me feel terrible. It's like, no, the food is not what's making you feel terrible. The habit of eating behind your back is the shittiest part of all because you can't trust yourself. And that's why I want you guys planning these things. Your experience today was like polar opposite. It's almost like it's empowering. It's like, you know, I probably are not going to be able to lose, you know, how much weight do you want to lose?
100 pounds.
Yeah, I want to lose 100 pounds. I might not be able to lose 100 pounds eating a pastry and a biscuit every Sunday morning. But for the next few weeks, if that's all I did and I cut all that other bullshit out, I probably could lose 15 or 20. And then when you start, like, you just do like I did. It's like, you got to stop the bleeding at some point. I had to quit expecting myself to be this version of Corinne on day one. You're holding yourself to a standard that you want to grow into and evolve into. And, like, guys, start where you are. Get your training wheels on, like, get to know yourself, like, use this as an opportunity to get to know you. Like, you learned so much. Like, you, like, oh wow, I probably could have just waited till I was hungry. I don't even have to feel like I have to go rob a bank and get it now. If I really want it and I want to plan for it now, that might can become like just your exception, or you'll do like I did. I just kept on planning that food as a normal part. And I kept eating it with such awareness that I started just like saying, sometimes, you know what? I'm just going to tell them to keep the hash brown. I don't even want the temptation.
All right.
It's like, it doesn't even matter if I paid for it. Give it to the person behind me. Give them a bonus. Bonus hash brown for you. And then you start thinking like, okay, well, do I actually need cheese on the sandwich? Would it be okay if I just didn't have the cheese? Like, you just start like leveling. That's how you level up. That's how I did it. And I just totally believe in it. It's like, you start feeling like you can do it. And that's what I want you to get out of today, is like, I want you to really believe you can do this, because you learned so much just by giving yourself the gift of a planned exception.
Okay. Okay.
All right. All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Good job, lady.
All righty. Bye.
Bye. And at the end, I call that planned exception. I meant planned overeat. But guys, seriously, I don't care how many planned overeats you need to do. Do them until you figure out what needs to change for you. do them with your eyes wide open. Sometimes the experience will be like that. Sometimes the experience will be like, Jesus Christ. Like, now I'm starting to think about my better self. And when I think about my better self when I'm eating, rather than shaming myself for eating or trying to turn it all off, the experience just changes. And it's everything to weight loss. Okay. I think Larissa, you're next. Yes, ma'am. Let's do this. Hello. Bottom left, I think, is where the unmute button is.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm like, yes, this is new. So I sent you an aspirin about relationship with my mom a while ago, and you had given me some good advice. And the situation is that there are some past abusive things that had happened when I was a child.
Okay.
That, like, so your advice to me was, because I have a better relationship with my mom now. And I'm gonna try not to cry. I've done a lot of work over the last few years of building like healthy boundaries, on, like, you know, if she's yelling at me on the phone for no reason, like, you're not allowed to talk to me that way. I'm going to hang up. You can call me back when you've calmed down, like that sort of thing. So you had given me some advice, to help me kind of work through that whole, like, forgiveness pattern of, like, you know, how do I reconcile that difference of loving my mom now, mm-hmm. and kind of hating some of the things that had happened, when I was younger. And, you know, I think you had given me the advice that, like, well, are you the same person you are now as you used to be? And I'm not. And I've changed over my life. She's grown up over her life. She's, those things don't exist in our relationship the way that they used to. So this morning, somebody else had canceled their call. So I just signed up for this call this morning. So this morning you had posted on the Facebook page about, like, what are your reasons for not starting? And I've kind of been, so I joined last May. I did really good at first for a while. And then it was like, things dropped off, and I've restarted, quit again, mm-hmm. a lot over the last few months. And usually it's like something else outside of my control changes. So, like, my work schedule changed, mm-hmm. and that threw my organization and stuff into.
No, let's not use that as an excuse. All right. Let me tell you.
Here's, I know that's an excuse.
Yes. Here's part of the problem. Things outside of my control change. If your work schedule changes, that has nothing to do with you controlling what goes in your mouth. It's nothing to do with you controlling your choices, your decisions, all these things. That is just a circumstantial change.
Yeah.
If you believe that can affect your results, which is what you're saying. If my schedule changes, it somehow can affect my results.
Well, more like I can't get to a particular class at the gym because I'm now at work at that time. And so that small little change, then, because, like, I'm one of those very much so that, like, the more I'm tuned in and dialed in with doing my exercise, I do a lot better on my diet as well.
No, well, that's not why. Again, you're looking for the external to prove this is how to do things. If you're doing well in your exercise, that has its own result. You deciding what you eat is you applying a thought to your exercise. You can also apply the same thought to when you're not exercising.
Yeah.
I really want you to see this, because the problem is people, circumstances, and events make me feel things.
Yeah.
Rather than people, circumstances, and events, I think some shit and then I feel some shit. None of them control how I think.
Yeah.
Not taking responsibility for your thoughts yet. And it's sneaking up on you.
Well, and so kind of going back to the question you had posted this morning, what I realized is, because there was a lot of verbal abuse about my weight when I was younger. And so I kind of have had a developed, I'm going to say it's a coping mechanism. I don't know about like whatever, but I, it was like my way to rebel was like, oh, you don't want me to eat this cookie? I'm going to eat two. Oh, you don't want me to eat this bowl of ice cream? Well, I get home from school before you get home from work and I can eat all the ice cream I want and you won't know that I did it.
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of sneaky eating with that. And I catch myself still doing that now.
With yourself. Like,
with myself. Nobody in my life right now is watching what food I'm eating. And I'm still like eating food in the fucking car because then nobody else knows it happened.
But or, you know, I don't think you've like, yeah. I don't think you've decided that you're the only, the food police now.
Yeah.
So you need to look for the situations where you are setting yourself up to trigger your own rebellion.
Okay.
So when you like, when you, this is one of the ways that you like, well, fuck, if they're going to jack my schedule, then I'm just going to screw my diet.
Yeah.
That's that same rebellion. When you like, this is what I want you to see. That rebellion can't end until you decide that none of that is what makes you do anything. It's always Larissa decides. If you like, here's what I would do. The next time you can't go to your workout class and you say, well, fuck it. Then I'm just going to eat this. Say, well, fuck it. I'm going to eat this because I'm having thoughts about somebody and trying to convince myself it's their fault when it's all me. Just drop into full ownership before you eat something.
Okay.
Shame every single time. Yeah. Because what you're doing is reinforcing your belief that outside circumstances are bad. And so you have to put a finger to them.
Yeah.
By hurting yourself.
Yeah.
Your boss does not give a shit that you're going to miss your exercise class and then you're going to overeat. He's just like, schedule change.
Yeah.
And if you think it's unfair, it shouldn't be happening. That's where you got to do some of that cleanup work on the other end. But just in the front part, like before you can even get to like, oh yeah, I forgot. Like he runs the ship. He gets to do whatever he wants with the schedule. I also run the exercise ship. I get to do whatever I want, which means today I get to just eat healthy because that's what I do rather than blaming it on him because I can't go to my exercise class.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the teenager version of you has to be retired.
Oh, yeah. And that's what I kind of know. Like, so I was trying to do a model on it. I don't know if my book's
close. Ooh, let's do a model. Yes. Love models.
I'm like, I was trying to model it. And
what was your circumstance? Let's just do it together. I'll help you. Okay. I have a whiteboard right here.
So, oh, girl. I'm going to have to walk around until I find my
book. I'll do it. You just tell me the circumstance you had.
So the circumstance that I was particularly using was like, you know, I was more thinking related to my mom stuff. If my mom makes a comment, you know, somebody makes a comment.
Tell me a comment your mom would make. Give me one that's common.
You shouldn't be eating that.
All right, that's a good one.
Is probably one that, she likes to use the "you're just like your aunt" a lot because I have one particular aunt who's very overweight.
Which one pisses you off the most? You're just
probably
like
the aunt, you shouldn't be eating that, or you, yeah.
Let's go with you
that
should.
Probably triggers the rebellious thought more than.
Okay, so what's your thought when she says like you're on the phone? Or you're, I guess you're together when she says this?
Either on the phone or together.
Let's just pretend we're just together. Well, no, when would you likely just be like, F you, I'm eating it?
It probably is when we're actually together, because it's okay. Usually like a family event, like the, oh, you're getting a second plate. Like,
okay. All right. So she makes a comment about your food.
Uh-huh.
All right. And your thought is what?
You can't control me.
You can't control me. All right. And that makes you feel what?
Again, that kicks on that, like, that rebellious kind of, like, I'll show you.
Let me ask you this. Should she be saying this?
No, well, so that's probably my thought. You shouldn't say that sort of thing to me.
Yeah.
And I know that you'd say, like, people get to say what they want.
Tell me what you think. Like, here's what I want. Let me tell you how coaching goes so much better for you.
Yeah.
When you just tell me what's really going on in your head and you're not trying to, like, this, I tell the coaches this all the time. I was like, quit fucking self-coaching when I'm coaching you. Just tell me what's really going on and we'll make so much headway. When you're telling me what you, like, intellectually know, but emotionally you're like, fuck that. That's not what I believe. I want to know the fuck that version.
No, like, you shouldn't say that. Like, you're supposed to love me. You're my mom. Why?
You're supposed to love me.
Yeah.
When she says you shouldn't be eating that, that is where the pain, because every time you talk about your mom, you almost start crying every single time.
Yeah.
So there's a lot that you've not gotten over there. And I think you have a huge ass bunch of stuff about what your mom, a loving mother, should be. And I don't think she's matching up.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, that's not your mom. This is your mom. Your mom's going to comment on your weight. Your mom is going to say you're just like your aunt. Your mom is going to, I don't even know what the other abuse is. Is there any current abuse that goes on in your mind? Because I don't think this is...
Those sorts of, like, food comments will still happen, but as, like, there were some incidences of physical abuse, those do not happen. So when I say abuse, I mean there was true physical abuse when I was younger. That does not happen.
Okay. I think what you need to, this is always difficult, but this is where I think your work is going to be able to go. You're going to need to go with it, especially if you're going to keep up with your mom.
Yeah.
Why do you want to have a relationship with her?
I can't have a relationship with my dad without my mom being there. Right. Like,
that's not true. There's lots of people
in the house. Like,
what?
Like, I can't go see my dad. They live an hour away. Like, if I'm going to go to the town where they're at and see my sister and my niece and my dad, like, my mom's going to physically be there. So I'd rather, and they're,
I'm, do you,
like,
love her?
I'm going to make her sound like she's a horrible person. I do love her. There are certain things that have happened.
Okay, let's do this, Larissa. Wait. Slow down. Let's do this. Let's make an agreement that we no longer conditionally love mom. You either love her as who she is and you want to have her in your life, or you don't. You're making
this. I do. More,
okay, so this is what I want you to agree with yourself. I want you to agree with yourself that your current hurt is always you. You're not that child anymore. Back in the day when she hit you and she said things to you, you were not emotionally equipped, and now you're taking care of all of you. But that anything she says from this point forward and anything that happens is all Larissa, and you take full ownership of it. If you want to be hurt by her words, you're hurt by her words because you're hurt, not because she should be better or she should be different or she should change and she needs a boundary and all this other stuff. You're complicating your relationship with her. Okay. And it's only hurting Larissa.
Yeah.
And that's like, if I was you, go to the Mastering Relationships course.
Mm-hmm.
And I want you to re-listen to some of the stuff where I talk about relationships are 100% in your mind. You have a relationship with your mom, and right now you're complicating the relationship. So like when I ask, do you want a relationship with her or not? We don't go into, well, we have to because of blah, blah, blah. It's like, if you love your mom, just say yes, because I love my mother and I love my father.
Yeah.
And that means it comes with all of this too. And I'm willing to work on my part of all of this because that's the mom I got.
Yeah.
So let me just give you an example. You shouldn't be eating that. Why do you think she says that to you? If you had to take some guesses.
I think because I'm more overweight than she is, but she's also overweight. So she's probably projecting that she shouldn't be eating it, or that she wants me to do better than she is.
Do you think she feels shame about her weight?
Yes.
Do you think it's probably a lot of fat girl thinking going up in that brain of hers?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So every time you eat something that she thinks is going to create the same exact mental experience that she's having, she's probably going to not want you to eat that. This is probably her best way of saying, I don't want you in the same pain I'm in. That sounds like a loving mom. She may not be able to say it in a way that, like, you would probably love for her to be like, oh, we're in this together, and I understand why you're eating that, and, you know, do you have any amazing podcasts I could listen to? Like, that's not your mom. Your mom is always in panic mode over you. And when people are in panic mode, or if it upsets her to see that, they don't show up for their best on their action line. Just like when you're upset with how she behaves, you don't show up for yourself best on your action line either.
No.
So if you don't like the way your mom talks to you, then don't act like the very person that you don't want to be.
Meaning, like, don't, well, yeah, like, be the person, because I'm working on diet and things like that.
You should.
So I need to get to the point where, like, my reaction or my action is
so your thought
neutral.
Your core thought here, your core, she doesn't love me. When you say, good mothers don't say that,
mm-hmm.
like you're basically saying she doesn't love me.
Which, like, 13, 14-year-old version of me would have said that as an actual statement.
Mm-hmm. And so I think you don't really believe it. You know why I think you really believe it? You want her to become someone new. You don't like this version. And the only person who suffers with this version is you. So when you say she doesn't love me, how does that feel? When you think that?
Yeah, it makes me feel hurt.
Hurt. So you eat to get away from it.
Yeah.
And when you eat, guess what you're doing? You're doing things to yourself you shouldn't be doing. You're becoming the very person and judging yourself. Because I'm going to guarantee you, this right here is not what you want your mom to be. And then after you do your rebellion, I guarantee you're having probably the same kinds of thoughts. I really should get my shit together. I shouldn't be this overweight. I shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah.
I want you to lose weight to become the best version of you. I also want you to lose this mental weight around your mom. So rather than thinking she doesn't love me,
uh-huh.
what about she's just worried about me? And so am I at times. She doesn't know how to say to me the things that I would love for her to say, but I don't either all the time.
Yeah.
Like, it's just moving out of that place of judging her, because if you're judging her, you're judging you. If you practice judging other people, you'll also practice judging yourself.
Yeah.
And I want you to just get to the point to where, like, I'm not saying you have to totally enjoy this, but there should be a place, like, I want you to get to the point where, like, if I can practice more compassion for my mom, I'm likely to be able to practice way more compassion for myself.
Yeah. And that's the first feeling that came to mind when you said, like, you know, she's not able to, like, say, you know, what, that she is worried about me, or, you know, she's worried about me and so am I. That makes me feel a little bit more compassionate towards, like, even if she's saying something that doesn't come across well.
God. I just lost all electricity. Are you still here?
Yes.
My electricity just went out.
Yeah.
But the backup generator is on because this one monitor is working. That's so weird.
Flicker. Yeah. Can you still hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you fine. Thank God we have this backup. I'm glad we spent all that money on that. Now's the time. It all pays off. But this is the thing I think that's super helpful. Like, when you're in, like, oh my gosh, I could coach you all day. But I will not. What I will do is give you a couple of little things. Number one is, I want you to explore the idea of never being upset with your mom ever again for anything that's happened in your past.
Okay.
I want you to, like, do some TDLs. You're already doing some models. I want you to do some TDLs on, like, seriously, if you just gave it all up, you didn't use it against her or yourself anymore, what could your life look like?
Yeah. That sounds really hard.
It will be hard. You know why? You're married to it like it protects you. Like, I want you to do some TDLs on, like, me sitting around and thinking about my past and using it against myself right now. Where's the upside for me? You don't look like you're enjoying it.
No, I'm not.
That's the problems with our past, is we think, like, when we keep going back to them, we keep thinking they're hurting us now. It's your thoughts about your past that now hurt you in the present. It is like saying, okay, mom, I know you used to hit me. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to pick up the baton. I'm going to do it myself now by going back to every painful moment we ever had. And I'm just going to, like, hit myself over and over again now. I want you to be done with it.
Yeah.
And I want you to think about worst case scenario. What is the worst thing that happens if you're just like, I'm done thinking about it? Like, that is now irrelevant to my current life. I'm now building forward.
I think the worst, my fear point is that it happens again.
That she hits you again?
Yeah.
Okay. So if she hits you tomorrow, grown ass Alyssa, how old are you?
I'm 34.
So your mom hits a 34-year-old woman. Uh-huh. What would you do?
I'm like, that because the last time it happened, I was 24, so it was right 10 years ago.
What'd you do 10 years ago?
I was living with them at the time. I left the house and I stayed gone for a little while, kind of just removed myself from that environment.
So if she hits you this time, you get up and you leave. There's your boundary.
Yeah.
So we know what we're going to do if mom hits us again. Do you think there is a likelihood of her not hitting you? The likelihood of her never hitting you again, is it like, all right, she's probably never going to hit me again, because you know what I do? I sit around and think about the past all the time.
It doesn't change that likelihood.
No. You know what? If she wants to hit you, you know what she's going to do? She'll find a reason whether or not you think about your past or not.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's your true. Past is now your own whipping stick. You own that stick. It's yours to wield as much or as little as you want. It is not your mom's anymore.
Yeah.
Your mom's words do not hurt you. Your thoughts about her words do all that for yourself. If you want to have certain things your mom says or does hurt you, I want you to set that boundary from a good place, not because you're scared, but because you can handle your shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're setting boundaries from fear. And I want you to set boundaries from, like, the new Larissa takes care of herself.
Yeah.
I really think if you clear, like, some of this up, this starting and stopping bullshit with your food, like, that's the least of my worries. You know what? Just get on your damn 24-hour plan. If you shit all over it, that's fine, but don't shit all over yourself. Just be like, all right, there's no reason not to have another 24-hour plan tomorrow. Do you have an accountability group?
I do.
Good. You need to tell them, like, I can have all the drama I want, and I'm working through that, but you know what drama I don't get to have anymore? Quitting my plan. Yeah. That no longer, like, that's not mama, that's not my past, that's not anything. I'm just going to work my 24-hour plan in my hunger scale while I clean all this other mess up.
Yeah. And then that should, because that's where the rebellion piece kind of came from, that should help clear that piece up.
Yeah. And this is, I think, is super helpful. I read this somewhere in a book one time. Basically, write a letter to your younger self, the one that was getting hit.
Uh-huh.
One that didn't have the emotional, like, she didn't have a model. She didn't have a Corinne and a podcast. She didn't have, like, this stuff, right? An accountability group.
Yeah.
Write a letter to her and tell her why, when she wants to be afraid and she wants to rebel, like, when that part of your brain wants to kick on, tell her, like, you have her now.
Yeah. Like,
she can be scared in your head, but that you've got this. This version, this 34-year-old version, is now taking care of all of us now.
Yeah.
We don't need anyone other than us.
Yeah. It's just crazy that, like, it's 20 years later and I still carry that crap around every day.
Well, that's because you're not, it's not crazy. You've not practiced letting it go.
Yeah.
You just practice making it a key part of your life. It's not, I feel you. I was never abused, but I had plenty of shit that happened my entire life, like all kinds of crap.
Yeah.
And until I quit using my past against me, I just couldn't grow.
Okay. That's a big task you've given me.
You can do it. Get on all these coaching calls. Go sign up for them or get on the office hours. The other girls can help too. You know, like, I would, like, once a month check in with us and be like, here's the work I've done this month, and get on any call you can.
Okay. I did put in, before I saw that there was the opening for today, I did put in a ask Corinne about some of this stuff. So I'm like, don't feel like you.
I'll delete it
a second time. Yeah.
I'll delete it. Or what we'll do is we'll say, watch this call.
There you go.
Maybe that's what I'll do. When I get Sadie, I'll say, Sadie, go into my Ask Corinne, find that one, and then post the link.
Yeah. There you go.
All right. Thank you, Mama. That was very, it takes a lot of courage to talk about all your shit. And I applaud you for doing so.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I got some work to do.
Yes, you do.
Bye.
Bye. All right, got a couple of little questions, and then we'll get out of here. And you have, I don't know if you can see all the comments, but boy, you got some ladies in your corner over here. What do you do when you have a thought error that external approval means more than having your own approval and wanting external validation? Plus, how do you shift to giving yourself internal? Internal validation comes with practice, guys. So if you want to get good at internal validation, you have to do it when it feels skeezy. You have to do it over and over again. It has to feel unbelievable. It has to feel boring. It's like, why am I doing this? And it's got to happen, like, on the regular. When you have a thought error that I need their approval, you have to just, like, seriously, the only way to break it is to be able to tell yourself, like, I'm seeking approval. I'm not working on my own right now, obviously. Like that is more about like just even noticing that you're doing it is like half the battle. When you're thinking that I'm going to feel something if someone says, if someone does. And then that's when you just basically tell yourself, I'm going to feel something when someone does this because I will choose to think this. And then you ask yourself, so how can I think that on my own without needing all of that? Because here's the thing. When somebody tells me I do a good job, it feels amazing. And it feels amazing because I already know I do a good job. Or when somebody, here's the other thing. And when someone says I do a good job, it's like icing on the cake because I already believe it. But if I don't believe it, then I am always on the hunt. So on the days when I'm not getting it, then I'm screwed and I feel terrible. I'm only seeing what's wrong. So it's just a lot, guys, seriously, for those of you who have self-validation problems and you need to validate, every single day you should be literally writing down 2 to 3 things you love about yourself and you don't put them on repeat. Like you like come up with 2 to 3 new things all the time and you keep adding to your list and then you read your list. Like it's going to not feel true until it does feel true. What is the difference of overeating and off-plan eating? Kathy, if you will actually go to the deep dive, I talk about that. If you go to bonus courses and the deep dive into taking control, I talk about it in depth. But basically, their off-plan eating is like where, let's say you had a salad planned and you ended up having a burger. That would be off-plan eating. Or you have a salad plan and you end up going out to eat and you eat a lettuce wrap burger. All right. That would be off-plan eating. Overeating is where you overeat. You eat too much food. Sometimes we overeat and off-plan eat. We do both, but that's really the difference. And when it comes to off-plan eating, I track all of them. Some off-plan eats are fine. Like I'm going to track it to notice how often I'm changing for all kinds of reasons, but I'm not going to beat myself up over them no matter what I do. But some of them aren't going to slow me down on my way to my goals. It's just good information to have. Some of them are like, oh, like if every single day I sub out my apple for apple pie, probably not going to give my goal away. But if I sub an apple for an orange, I should probably buy more oranges next week. Looks like I really like oranges right now. So it's just to help you build consistency and stuff. How do you shut down your judgment habit? You shut it down. Like I know you guys always want to know, like, what's this magic thought? There's no magic thought. Here's the magic. When you notice yourself judging, you stop it. Like you take the firm hand and you say, we're not doing this anymore. No, like we get to think good things about ourselves or we get to think about something else, but throwing shade, not what we're doing right now. The only way to like get those thoughts to quit coming up is to quit giving them oxygen. It's just like a fire, guys. When you put I don't have one, it's empty. But when you put a cup over a match and it extinguishes itself, it's because it has no more oxygen. Guys, your thoughts are the same way. You got to cap that shit. But if you just keep putting oxygen in the room and throwing a little kindling on it and letting it like run wild and stuff, don't be shocked that it never stops. Just because you want it to stop doesn't mean it will. It's going to take you doing some work on like, this is like when y'all always worry about, oh, it's going to be so hard and all my shit's going to come out. It's like, your shit's there anyway. Quit being afraid of your work. Just get in there and do your work. Just be like, you know, no upside to thinking that I'm a piece of shit. No upside to thinking my mom used to beat me and she shouldn't be that way. No upside to this. Like, just tell yourself there's no upside. If you can't find an upside, stop doing it. And then every time it comes up, you just stop. That's how you eventually get, your brain will start noticing when you want to go there and you won't go there. But it takes time and you can't sit there and judge your ass for it coming back. It ain't because you're broken. It's because that's a thought pattern that's been practiced. It's going to take a while for it to get unpracticed. And with that, beautiful ladies, I'm out of here. I have got some packing to do and then I've got some work to do for all of you amazing folkies. And guys, today's the last day to sign up for Don't Stop Believing. If you're on this call and you listen to this replay, it's March 10th. Other than that, y'all have an amazing, amazing week. Please start and join the journey. This was a great coaching call. If you don't learn anything out of this one, I want you to just understand, let's just start focusing on where we're going and how the fuck can we like it? That was kind of the theme of all of this. It's like, get out of your past. Get out of all of that and let's start enjoying what we're doing. Like, there's such an amazing life waiting for you, and it's waiting for you. All right. Bye, y'all.